The use of drones has been increasing every year in a variety of different industries, from those spectacular drone shots in movies and TV to speeding deliveries, monitoring agricultural crops, inspecting electrical wires, and so much more. But with the boom in the use of drones comes a number of concerns, worries about privacy, about safety, about surveillance. Last winter, an outbreak of drone hysteria had Americans staring up at the skies, wondering what was up there and who sent those mysterious lights. Today, we take a look at some of the benefits of drones and try to allay some fears. We also look at some of the ways that drone technology could be misused and what protections there are against that. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Aerial drones seem to be everywhere these days, from industrial uses, warfare and security, to children's playthings. But the more drones become part of our everyday life, the more many people are having second thoughts about those unmanned aerial phenomena. The public safety uses of drones and the glory of aerial photography may be offset by fears of damage or invasion of privacy issues. So, are they friend or are they foe? Joining us right now is Kenji Sugihara, and he's an expert on drones who also is an attorney, chief pilot, and co-founder of ACAM Aerials. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us, Kenji.
Great to be here.
You know, last winter, I really want to start with this because it's top of mind. Last winter, there was a big news story about a number of large drones being spotted over New Jersey and New York areas. Was there ever a definitive resolution of that?
Yeah, most of it was just what you think about as traditional aircraft. You have your airliners and helicopters and such. You really look into the information that was out there. It's a lot of confusion because people were looking up in the air for the first time, right? So they're used to looking what's in front of them, looking at the ground. But as soon as they realized, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on in the air that they don't necessarily have experience with, that's when they start to panic.
It was so interesting, though, the way people sort of, I think they were thinking, are those from Mars or where did that come from? You know, and here we know the answer. What are some of the most common uses of drones today that people out there watching may not be aware of?
Well, you being in L.A., the obvious ones are film and television. A lot of the aerial shots you see in your movies, commercials, they're shot by drones. So they're super easy. Another one is inspection. So a lot of farmers' fields are inspected by drone to figure out the health of crops. And a lot of power companies use drones to check out their power lines to make sure there aren't any issues. For example, in a lot of wildfires, there's potential they could be sparked by power lines. So there's a lot of inspections going on using drones.
Using drones to be able to check out those power lines. And how do drone operators ensure that they're respecting people's privacy, especially in residential areas?
So for commercial operators, there's people have to get their Part 107 certificate, and there's a lot of people who, especially in the communities, we police each other because one of the things that we want to do is make sure that people are comfortable with drones around their neighborhoods, around their workplace, because it's becoming more and more common. And if they cause problems, it just becomes more difficult for people to do their jobs, right? So that's one of the things. Another piece is we try to educate the community, especially the recreational side. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So there's a big aspect of training people to become more neighborly, because I understand the fear out there. People don't want people to be spying on them. That's a concern. It's a valid concern.
And I think there are people who feel that way. And so what are the current regulations in place to prevent that and prevent drones from interfering with commercial aircraft or public safety?
If you're concerned about voyeurism or anything like that, those are usually in state statute. But on the federal side, there are statutes against, for example, interfering with wildfire operations or aircraft operations. So there's a federal regulatory structure, which can be supplemented by some of the state laws as well.
There's growing concern about drones being used for surveillance. Well, what safeguards are in place to prevent misuse?
It's up to the operator, and of course, our state statute construction to make sure that people aren't using it in a way that are nefarious. So for example, in Oregon, you can't use a drone to intentionally harass somebody. So that's against the law here. There, in other states, there's laws against you can't use it to surveil somebody, so persistently following them or spying on them. So a lot of it depends state to state.
But do people get caught? Do they get fined? Do they get punished?
There has been an incident in Virginia where somebody was caught for harassing a family, and that's to some of the new regulations and technologies that are out there. There's a requirement that they have what's called remote ID. Remote ID is like a digital license plate for your drone.
What innovations are on the horizon in drone technology that could benefit the average person in the next few years?
Well, there's a lot of technologies out there. One of the regulatory structures that is coming out is called Part 108 from the FAA, and it's a new regulatory structure that will allow beyond visual line of sight operations on a normalized basis. Right now, all drones have to be flown within the line of sight of the operator, but with this new regulation, they can fly visual line of sight. So that will enable things like drone delivery. So these long line infrastructure inspections, among many other types of operations that require the drone to fly a little bit farther away than you can see it.
You know, I know we alluded to it, but let's go a little more in depth here on the idea of there are other things flying up there. And so this issue of drones getting in the way of helicopters, drones getting in the way of aircraft, I mean, how often is that happening, and what are the rules about that people have to abide by?
So the rules that drone operators abide by is you have to see and avoid all aircraft. And it's against federal law as well. So you could get in trouble for that. And that's why the whole idea about remote ID is so important, because it's validation that if it's flying around somewhere where people aren't supposed to be flying, you understand and you know where it is. And there's other drone detection technologies out there that can be used to detect and sort of create that trail where law enforcement can enforce and catch these folks.
I guess we could say it's a brave new world, a new frontier out there. And Kenji Sugihara, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, the newest drone technology is making a big difference for law enforcement. We take a look at how those drones are used to track down the bad guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and we're talking about those little buzzing, flying machines that people love to hate. Drones. But I could drone on about that, couldn't I? One of the most impactful uses of drones is for law enforcement work. And here with us right now is the president of Flying Lion Incorporated, Barry Brennan. Flying Lion specializes in drones as first responder operations. So let's find out exactly what that means. Barry, good to see you. Thanks for coming in, and you brought some toys with you, right?
Absolutely. We've got a couple of items here.
All right. Well, first talk about public safety. What is the role of public safety?
So the best way that I can describe it is that when drones started coming out and being available for public safety about 10 or 11 years ago, they were looked at as being an alternative to a helicopter system. So it allowed for officers to deploy this technology to help them in the field when they would have a containment or a person lost. They could use it to search areas and things of that nature. So it became a great tool for them to use at a much more cost-effective level than a helicopter. And so agencies that couldn't have a helicopter or would never even think of getting a helicopter now had this as a tool to actually enhance what they could do from a community.
And I remember being told that when Hawthorne Police introduced drones into their department.
Absolutely.
Just tell us what we have in front of us. This is Papa Drone, right?
This is a little larger drone. So this is going to kind of what we talk about as being in an overwatch or a drone as first responder drone. It can respond to calls for service. So some cities, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, have drone as a first responder. It's in a hot ready state. Every 911 call that comes in during their operations, they're able to respond the drone first on scene within 60 to 90 seconds, assess what's going on. Then if they ever need to go inside an interior operations, they'd be able to bring out a smaller drone and now be able to go through a building and do searches. Kind of like the idea of a canine, but now you're using electronics. The dog would be replaced, or not replaced, or supplemented with a...
How effective is that?
They're very effective. And so I could actually go through the entire studio that we're in right now, check that out to make sure that we can now put people in that environment to not put them into harm's way by checking it out with the
system
first.
But if you got some bad guy in there, couldn't you just take a rock and throw it and try to get rid of it?
The magic of that is we know exactly where they are now. So we send in another drone. So it becomes a great tool to save a person looking around a corner or a canine going in and potentially getting harmed. Because when I started this 11 years ago, it was when the Anaheim canine was shot after it was going after a suspect. So I wanted to say, is there a better way that we can use technology to take advantage of risking life or limb?
Is this Bluetooth operated? I see you have some goggles there, and I imagine you see what the drone is seeing through the goggles.
It is. So there's a combination. It's RF to the aircraft itself, and then you can have Bluetooth so you can set it up to see additional devices that if you want to look at.
So you need more than one device to kind of cover a whole situation? One device may not do it all?
We refer to it as the triple canopy. So you have the high overwatch, lower tactical, and then you have the interior or confined space drones. So if you have a department that has that capabilities, they're well versed at taking advantage of all of that to resolve the situation as quickly and, you know, safely as possible.
I remember when I did the story about Hawthorne Police, they showed us some images of bad people hiding on the rooftop.
Exactly.
And they were able to see the people down there and advise the officers on the ground where they were hiding.
Yes.
Is that one of the major applications?
It is hugely advantageous because they're also equipped with infrared. So we're able to see in the different spectrum of light, so we can see people, their heat sources. And so saving people having to climb up on a roof and look for that. These have become so effective that people are actually surrendering when they see a drone, and they come out and they surrender to the drone. So Torrance had somebody surrender to a drone, and so they paid more attention to the drone than the officers that were giving them commands. It was really funny to see that video, but it's such a great use of this technology resolve situations safer.
That's interesting. Yeah. And what I understand is that Santa Monica, Torrance, Irvine, Alhambra, Azusa, Beverly Hills, and many other cities have these things now. Does it cost them a lot?
There's a bit of an investment because you have to train officers how to do this and how to use it. Then also the equipment can range from an inexpensive couple thousand dollars to now this is, you know, up into the multiple thousands of dollars for this. But it goes back to, it's still thousands of percent cheaper than a helicopter. And it can do so much more than just a helicopter. And I'm not talking about getting rid of helicopters. Helicopters have their purpose. But these drones can resolve situations that a helicopter would never be called to.
But as we show these devices, there may be people at home saying, but that can see through my bedroom window.
And it can't. So that's the great news about the technology. There are limiting factors. This is not Superman technology of looking through stuff or laser vision. The idea behind it is it's infrared. We can't see through windows. We can't see through walls. But anything on the outside, exterior, that you would be able to see in other means, we can take advantage of.
So you can give people out there assurance that there's privacy, no privacy concern.
Most agencies, if not all agencies, are following the ACLU standards for making sure that people's liberties are protected.
What kind of accountability measures are there?
There's a couple of things that go into this. One is the agencies that are doing this on a regular basis have what's called a transparency page. So they're generally speaking to what they're using the drones for, what operations they've been using them on, and sometimes they even retain what the flight path was. And so you can tell what the drone was looking at or what angle it was. And the idea of just doing random patrol or surveillance, that's a no-no as far as most agencies that we work with.
You know, we saw a situation in Florida where a boy was hurt by drones falling from the sky. Is that something we should be concerned about?
We don't have drones willy-nilly falling out of the sky in most of the law enforcement environments, and some agencies are now going to the level of where they're putting parachutes on the drone, so it's going to retard the fall, so it's not coming down as quick, so it's going to be safe. And or you look at a drone like this, it's got its enclosed. So if you can enclose the props or slow down the fall if there's ever an issue with the aircraft flying, those are the things that will keep everybody safer.
Barry, is there anything you want to say to the folks out there as far as any concerns you think they might have?
I think that concern comes up first, but the reality of it is Flying Lion has had over 60,000 flights. We've had no injuries to anybody on the ground with our operations, and most police officers or police departments are doing that same way of training and using the tools and technology. So they're taking advantage of what it is, and there's not a large risk to it.
Barry Brennan, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we look at another law enforcement use for drones, and it's already saving some lives. The thermal imaging aspect of drones allow rescuers to spot a person in dense and brushy terrain, in wilderness, or in the snow. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Another way that drones are making an impact is with their search and rescue function. The LA County Sheriff's Department drones have a thermal camera, and that helps them find people who are missing or are lost. And that is a big development. Joining us right now, Deputy Dave Katz with the LA County Sheriff's Department search and rescue team in Malibu. Good to see you. Thanks so much for
being
here.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
And this little guy here is the DJI Matrice 4T.
4T. 4T. 4T, yeah.
Now, that's a little smaller than that bigger one we had on the table just a moment ago.
Yeah.
And how would you use this?
Well, this is the latest and greatest. This just came out earlier this year, and we got it within the first few months it came out. We utilize this in the canyons and on the cliffs mostly, and on the mountains, looking for missing or injured hikers, cars that go over the side of the cliff, and also for people that might be suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's that leave from a house and don't return.
So that's got to be a quantum leap from having to send search crews out.
Everybody I talk to about a drone right now, I tell them the same thing. It's a game changer. It really is a game changer. It is a force multiplier, meaning that usually we'd have anywhere from 10 to 15 people that would respond and go out in the field on rescues. This basically is the equivalent of 30 or 40 people. You can cover way more territory in a much shorter time. And if it's at night and the ambient temperature is right, you can use the thermal camera, as you mentioned, and you can spot things from a large distance away and find people that you might not have even put your rescuers in those locations.
Well, out there at Lost Hills Station, where you're at, you've had people who have been missing and had to search for them. I remember a woman a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And can you give us an example of how this made a difference?
Sure. We started the program at Lost Hills in November. And in December, right around Christmas, a man in his 70s left his house to go get his mail and then didn't return. We got called a few hours later, put the drone up in the air, and within the first 15 minutes located him over the side of a cliff in a field, and he was down. He was unresponsive. We would not have put people in that location to go look for him at the time. So the temperature was cold. It was in December. So it probably saved his life.
Well, it sounds like it might have. Because all the time it would have taken for your search crews to traverse the hillsides and so forth, it's very hilly out there.
That's right.
Could have been the difference between life and death.
Yeah, could have.
What are some of the features of this?
So we have the camera, obviously. It's a gimbal-based camera, so we're able to manipulate it using the remote. We have articulating spotlights. These are super, super bright spotlights. Not as bright as you'd have from a helicopter, but much brighter than any of the commercial grade flashlights that you would use. And there's a thermal camera, and there's also a PA, a live PA. So you can speak into the remote, tell people, guide them to a trail to get out of where they're at, or tell them to stay put and let them know that we're on the way.
Some of them have sirens, don't they?
Yeah, some of them have sirens. This one does not have a siren, but some of them do have sirens. This also has laser pointing, so you can actually use the laser pointer to detect where somebody is, and then that'll give you the GPS coordinates so you can get people right to where they are.
There was a case where a vehicle went over a cliff, mm-hmm. and I think we have some video of that, but this vehicle went over the cliff, and was it the drone, that made the difference between life and death there?
It's not so much that it was the difference between life and death. It sped up the where the location of the victims were. The fire truck had actually passed by where the car had gone off the cliff. The people that were down at the bottom in the car said to 911 operator, "I think I hear the fire truck passing us. Can you tell them to come back?" So they didn't know where to go. One of our units rolled up on scene. They pulled out the drone. It takes about 30 seconds to get it out of the box and in the air. They were overhead, and immediately with the thermal, they were able to detect both the car as well as the two patients. The car was still warm because the engine had still been running just a few minutes before, and also the heat coming from the two patients.
And we're looking at video of that on the screen. And so would another application, I'm not sure this is one, but could you use that in a pursuit that where the car's going really fast and trying to get ahead of it?
It would be difficult to use in a pursuit because we're really operating line of sight. And to have line of sight, you have to be able to be with the drone.
Right. So in an emergency situation, how do you launch it?
These are stored on our vehicles. So this is on our main rescue truck. You roll out in the field and you open the door, you pull out your box, take the drone out, and within 30 seconds, it's in the air and operational.
Now, is this the drone that you used exclusively, or do you have other ones?
So we have, there are three drones at Lost Hill Station, plus the drone that we have for the rescue team. This is one that our team purchased earlier in the year so that we would have a dedicated drone to be able to respond quickly in the event that the other drones that are in the deputies' vehicles are being used for something else at the time. This way we can operate it on our own.
Well, what's the cost of something like this?
So when we bought this with all of the bells and whistles, it was about $12,500. Now it's significantly higher.
Wow. Big game changer, as you say.
Absolutely.
And I guess, you know, one question from earlier in the show, how do you keep these things from getting in the way of helicopters or other aircraft or even maybe hitting some other drone that's up there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it has to be line of sight. That's the major protection. We're also in communication with the fire department and the sheriff's department anytime we're in the air. So for example, the car over you mentioned, there was a fire rescue helicopter en route. They were advised over the radio that there was a drone in the air. They requested that the drone be landed as soon as possible. And after the drone located the two patients, they landed the drone and the rescue helicopter came in.
I'm fascinated by this stuff. I've got to.
Oh, we all geek out over it.
Now. Yeah, it's like big boy toys, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Dave Katz, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Fox 11 News In Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. And let's take a look at one of the most enjoyable aspects of drones they can perform. See you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.